Saul says, been good to me. Amen. It's good to see you. Amen. Brother Lee out on a Wednesday evening. So I gotta get to the house of God. Brought his baby and his other baby. Amen. That's all right. Praise the Lord for being here. Amen. Can we greet our pastor? Amen. With a hearty praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It's good to see Sister Jeannie out again. Amen. On a Wednesday evening. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. He had to go down south. He didn't say sure enough, but show enough. How many of you show enough? Been good to me. I hear a lot of people say amen. How many know he's shown up? Been good to me. So truly we do thank God tonight for being in the house of prayer. One more time we thank God for blessing my wife to press her way. Amen. And you know tonight, how many going through something? Give God a wave offering if you're going through something. Amen. If you're going through something, give God a wave offering. But I believe Job went through the worst of the worst. And when Job was down at his low point, when others should have been complaining and finding a place just to hide, the Bible said Job worshiped. Amen. Worship touches the very throne of God. So if you're going through something tonight, can we worship? Come on, if you're going through something, can we just worship? Come on, give God the praise in spite of it all. If you just give God a worship praise, hallelujah, worship gets God's attention. The Bible says God in heaven is the praises of his people. So we ought to learn to worship. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. We thank God for all that he's doing in our midst. Amen. And as I often say, don't look at what you see, because faith is not determined by what we see. But first, faith is determined by what we see God is yet to do. Can we say yet to do?
Yes.
Amen. So tonight now, we're going to get back to some of the things that we used to do. God's been dealing with me about this. As I said on Sunday, for those that were in the back, we're going to make every third Sunday and every third Wednesday evangelists, elders, and ministers night. Amen. Every third Wednesday, every third Sunday. Amen. Just so that you all can use what God has given you. Amen. So tonight, amen. Did somebody say you sick? No. No, he ain't. He is mine. Hey, even if I'm sick, when it comes to God, I can get over it. Amen. My wife always say, do what? Get over it. Right, so even though I could be sick, I'm not sick. I could be infirm, but I'm not infirm. Amen. You can't accept it. Excuse me, you're doing that again? It's the last 2 weeks. Amen. But we want to be in a position, you know. We know God is about to do some great things. Amen. We thank Elder Tensley. He's been faithful at doing our evangelism, doing our door-knob campaign. I know he gets me up to almost 1,000, because I printed out 2,000, and he has one whole package that he's done by himself. Amen. So just as a reminder, amen, Elder Tensley, even though he has been feeling the greatest, he's been doing it, pressing his way. He's reached that magic 70. Amen. Even at 70, God has something that we can all do. But just remember, this coming Saturday, we will be praying from 11 to 11:30, and we want to get out. Amen. We just want to show God we want to be counted worthy. Amen. So no further ado, at this time, let us greet y'all the Caraway with the hearty amen.
Hey.
Amen. So now, evangelists, elders, and ministers, be ready, because I might not let you know to 2 days before. But the scripture said, be ye always ready. Right? So if I call you and you say, I'm not ready, I'm going to put you off for a whole year. So you got to be ready. Don't you want to be ready? Amen. Let's be on Elder Caraway's heart. Amen.
Amen. He'll give you 2 days. Take my word for it. I got 2 days. But you got to be ready. Thank God once again for being in the house of God. It's wonderful to feel the Spirit of God midweek. And I don't know what he does, but Minister Simon just brings a whole different something to the atmosphere here. He gets the reason, and it just stirs up the atmosphere, and I think the Lord starts tapping his foot, and you can feel it down here. I thank God for that. You know, I was praying Monday in the wee hours of the morning, and those of us that handle the Word of God, that have a decent relationship with Him, you know kind of way God speaks. So Monday I'm praying, and towards the tail end of my prayer, scriptures start popping into my mind, but they had a different type of effect. So something said, write these down. So I said, this is different. Let me write these down. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I know you're talking. I don't know what this is for or when. And he said, develop this. That was different. Okay, I'll develop it. Little did I know, I would be sitting at my job the next day and my phone goes off. And Elder Cam said, yeah. So God knew. Thank you, Jesus. He knows how to communicate when it's time to communicate. I'm not going to be here long. I told the Lord I would say what he said and then leave it alone. I'm not going to add nothing. I'm not going to drag it out. I think a lot of times we try to embellish what God says to do, and then we lose those that are listening. So I know that my attention span is only so long, and I speak for me. I don't know if anybody else can get an amen on that, but I'll speak for me. So if I stop paying attention to what I'm saying, I'm going to get lost. So y'all, I'm getting out of here in a hurry. The subject that we're going to talk about is extremely important. And it's strange because as I was studying, God worked with me where a sense of urgency came over me. Urgency. God is always in the rescue business. Always. Always. So I'm going to allude to a couple of scenarios in the Bible. I'm going to refer to a few scriptures. So it's kind of telling a story and then looking at the scriptures to define it. So we know that in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, God said, let there be. Yeah. Now, along with God in the beginning was wisdom. The worlds were formed and wisdom was there. Yeah. So wisdom, I like to look at wisdom as the architect, God is the creator. So wisdom was there, God was there, who are the same. But one thing God expected out of everything he created was obedience. He said, let there be, and there was. It obeyed. The seas, he said, stop there, and they did. It obeyed. The animals obeyed. When he told them to go to Noah's ark, they obeyed. Everything in creation obeyed. And God said in the sixth day that it was very good. But something happened. Very good became very not so good. Man was created in the sixth day, and man was very good. But all of a sudden, situations took place where man stopped being so good. Now, we've heard the pastor, you know, let me back for a second because I am remiss. I am so glad everyone is here. And I'm more than glad my wife is here. Without my other portion, I am not complete. So I have to give honor to God for my wife because can't leave home without her. American Express, everywhere you want to be. Sorry. Sticking to the script, sorry. Anyway, we have fallen into a spot where we are no longer very good. And if I say something that registers, it's okay to say amen. It's okay. I won't get angry. I won't mind if you interrupt me. But God, in the beginning, had order. obedience. Now, the pastors reveal to us what obedience and faith are so closely related. Your faith and your obedience, the way this played out in my mind, are like a hand and a glove. You can't do one without the other. There's no way you can perform one without the other. If I believe something, I'm going to do it. If I do something, I believe what I'm doing. So faith and obedience go together. Where mankind got off track, and for years and decades and centuries, God has been trying to reel man back in. Even the law that he sent by Moses, he constructed that law from what he saw that man did prior to the flood. So he put all those stipulations in place to try to slow down this runaway train from having an eternal wreck. And still, he's working with us. So I believe the message has to get to the messenger before it can get to those that hear it. And in my mind, the Lord dealt with me to where I have if God says, do this, say these, use these scriptures, and I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it, but how? What do you want me to say? How do I say what you want me to say? So my normal route was that. And he said, no questions. I said, no questions? I said, okay, I won't ask any questions. I won't know what I'm doing, and I just won't ask. Because faith says no questions. There's no questions. You know, if you trust God, Abraham trusted God. He said, go. He didn't say where. He just went. So faith says no questions. Obedience does without question. If God says do, it isn't we say, well, what do you want me to do? How do I do? If he says, go to the church and pick up all the trash from the ground. All the trash? There's a lot of trash. He didn't say ask anything. He just said do it. Now, for all we know, he could send a wind to blow it all in one big circle, and you get it up in 3 minutes. But you got to approach by obedience. Obedience will show our level of faith. You can't have one without the other. So where man got off course, now God wants to get man back on course. The law came. The law didn't get the job done because man was determined to do what man wanted to do. So Christ came to abolish the penalty of sin, give us all a clean slate so we can start over, but yet we're men. We still are what we are, and we still want to ask those questions. So we're going to look in the book of Chronicles, and I'm going to lay down a little bit of thought pattern to try to develop this message. Chronicles 34, we're going to start with verse 15. Because we're in a predicament now as mankind. And I believe God knew who would be here and who would not. And he's speaking to those of us that are here. And as he saved us, we are saved to be what? We're saved to be witnesses. So the word of God needs to be witnessed to those that might not have made it here. And they spoke often, and a book was written of remembrance. So we need to rehearse to those that are not here what is said when we are in service. Verse 15, and Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Verse 18, and Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And the came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. He was angry. He was upset. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Asaiah, the servant of the king, saying, so you see, all these people, the king got involved. He didn't do anything by himself. This was a national emergency. So he got everybody around him involved in making sure what he needed to be done was done. And he said, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah. So let's just fast forward and make that Israel and Judah the church. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and them that are in the church concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. So Hilkiah was alarmed, but he didn't do anything. He didn't know he was doing anything wrong. He didn't have a clue of their condition until he saw what God said, this is how I want you to behave. And now it's a national emergency because they are not behaving in the manner God said behave. They're not obeying the law that God gave Moses, and he knows God is not happy. Because when man goes wrong, it doesn't mean the penalty doesn't consistently flow. So even if we didn't do anything wrong, Adam did wrong, and we were going to pay the price if Christ didn't come. So penalty for sin, penalty for wrong, flows. It just continues. So Hilkiah now is very upset, and he needs people to get things in line in a hurry. So he said, God is angry with us for what our fathers did. So down the lines of time from when the word of God came by the apostles and by Christ, and throughout time, things altered and changed. And I believe it's Paul or Peter that talk about Hymenaeus and Philetus, how they said the resurrection was already past, and they overthrew the faith of many. When you insert something into the word that God didn't put in the word, you shift the conversation that God is having with his people, and the understanding changes. So over the years, a lot of well-meaning people, a lot of folks that serve God, determined to understand his word by knowledge more than by spirit. And as a result, we've gotten off course. That because we're off course doesn't mean we won't pay the price. If we're on a cruise line, and that cruise line is going to a particular destination, and the captain starts out maybe 10 degrees off course, by the time you get to where you thought you were going, you are miles away from your intended destination. Our intended destination is heaven, but what says we're not miles away by all these minor insertions that were placed into the word because someone said, this is what God said, and failed to let the Bible speak. So now it's a national emergency. So faith was said to be believing and just believing. Strong faith, I believe strongly. I can believe strongly that all of my hair will be black by tomorrow. And as you see, segregation is not a part of my head. It is integrated tremendously. And them other folks have taken over. They do it every time. But faith alone without works. What is the works? It's not so much that you're coming back in before. Works is obedience to the word of God. Faith without works is dead. The works are our obedience. So now we're in a spot where we need to delete how we were thinking and change the think another way. Change the think. Faith means obedience. Not just believing, but I will show that I believe. Paul said, I'll show you my faith by my works. But without any works, you can't show any faith. So I can say I believe, but don't do. And what do I believe? So my obedience has to be in line. But what am I obeying? I've got to obey the Word of God. So my message title is, Let Us Reason Together. Let us reason. God wants to speak with us and get us on track because He understands eons ago, someone said, this is how you serve Him, and that wasn't exactly what He said. How many of us has ever gone to a restaurant and asked for certain food a certain way, and they bought it a way we didn't want it? We weren't really willing to accept it that way. And especially if it's a prepaid meal. Well, you gave them your money. Give me what I want the way I want it. Guess what, saints of God? We are prepaid people. God already paid the price. So we need to give Him what He wants. The way He wants it. And that's obedience. Our faith is shown by our obedience. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without obedience, it's impossible to please God. Now, I'm going to break it into another level. Sin is disobedience. So wherever there's sin, there's disobedience. Sin was introduced by who? The devil, Satan. So when we disobey, whatever is not of faith is sin. So when we disobey, we know God said do, and we ask the question, well, what, how, when? Can I get to it at this particular time? I know I'm not exclusive, and God doesn't speak to me exclusively, so I know He speaks to His people. Whether we choose to obey or not is another story. And I'll be honest with you, I've had my struggles with obeying what God told me to do. I'm angry with someone. They got way under my skin. And they were wiggling that one nerve that just said, you know what? And I'm a pacifist. I'm not a violent person. But sometimes I want to pacifist. But I'm not a violent person by nature. I've been redeemed. Now I'm going to help them up and pray for them, but sometimes they can just kind of get to you in that manner. And God says, do them good. And I sit there like, what? This is not about to happen. But the disciples, when the Lord said, 70 times 7, forgive. And they said, Lord, increase our faith. They weren't asking, increase my ability to believe what you're saying. They said, increase my ability to obey what you said. Increase my faith. Increase my ability to obey so that I can perform your will. So you see how faith and obedience, they're parallel. We're going to go to Isaiah, first chapter. And it's 18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God said, I am God and I change not. He doesn't repent. If He said it, He meant it, and He doesn't change it. So even though let us reason together has to do with sin, if there is sin by disobedience because we were led down a wrong path in our quest to serve God, and we didn't give him the meal the way he wanted it, now we need to take it back and get it right. So, obedience will keep us from getting devoured by the sword. The sword is another word for death. We will die not obeying God. You don't accept that meal. God doesn't accept our disobedience, even if we're ignorant. That's why he sends messengers to let us know. He won't leave us ignorant. He won't leave us without knowledge. But our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What is the knowledge? The knowledge isn't I can study the Bible and know 20,000 scriptures without even opening the book. The knowledge is what is the will of God. We don't know it the way we should. And I know we had a marvelous time praising and worshiping. The Spirit of the Lord came down on the inside of me. I'm like, I want to ask a question, but God said don't ask. So I keep beating my mind down. I'm not going to ask. But I'm like, wow, and I got to come up with this? And we just had such a marvelous time. But in the end, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. So we're going to have our rejoicing for eternity if we get it right down here. Okay, we're going to go to Romans. This is the state of condition that many of us are in. The state of condition, and one of the greatest apostles ever to walk the face of the earth went through this. So we're not exempt. Paul, the great Paul the Apostle, went through this particular situation. Starting with verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Paul's struggling. I know I should do this, but I end up doing that. I know what's right to do. I know I ought to be praying and reading my Bible, but I end up watching something on the TV, or I end up being distracted and I just don't get to it. And if I do, it's late at night and God gets leftovers. But Paul said, the thing I hate to do, that's what I'm doing. He said, if then I do that which I would not, or I should not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now let me explain. Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul knew the law inside and out. He didn't skip a beat. He crossed every T and dotted every I. Paul was about as perfect as you could get. So the law was in him. It was a part of his fabric, his makeup. Now he's shifting to be Paul the Apostle and not Saul of Tarsus. So his nature has to change. So now he finds himself falling into what he used to do by instinct, the law. But he says it's not good because now I understand grace. How many times do we fall into our instinctive patterns? Because it's us and it's not God. Somebody gets under our skin, we want to fuss. Things don't go our way, we get angry. We get attitudes, we get dispositions that God said, deal with it. And as First Lady says, get over it. So if we love our enemies, do good to them that hate us, and despite them, you know how hard it is to do good when somebody's purposely doing you wrong. They are intentionally getting under your skin and doing you wrong. You know how hard it is to do them right? Now this is not a reflection. I'm just going to throw it out there for consideration. You know how hard it is when it's that one person in your life that you feel you really don't have to have a certain amount of respect for because you've become very close and very comfortable with them. They're called spouses. And when they get under your skin because you don't like what they do for whatever reason, you don't like it, you just don't like it, and it bugs the life out of you. And God says, pray for them. And so the food is cold. And this doesn't happen in my house. Thank you. I'm giving broad-based scenarios. I don't think it happens in anyone's house here. So the food is cold and it's been sitting on the counter for about 4 or 5 hours. You get home from working hard and where's dinner? Oh, it's on the counter. And you go in there and look at crusted noodles from being air dried. And you're tired. And you're like, I work hard to make money, kid. The least you can do is make some food. And God says, do them right. And you want to turn to that other pacifist. But it's not a part of our nature to be obedient instinctively. Our own nature rises quickly because that's where our flesh wants to go. Now we've got to change things around and understand that faith and obedience is the only way we're going to please God. And if we don't please Him, we're not going to make the cut. We're going to get cut. I don't know about you, but a little warm down there for me. And I don't know how to swim. And I don't think if I hit the lake, I'm going to begin to sink. I'm going down and hard, so I'm not going there. And I don't know who wants to not go there. Okay, if you don't say amen, I guess you want to go. Have at it. I won't smell you from where I am. So Paul is now struggling. He says, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin, disobedience, that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, in my mind, in my heart, and my desire is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's not an instinct. For the good that I would, I don't do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. At the end, all he can do is throw up his hands and say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul's body, Paul's flesh, no different. We all are in the same spot. Anyone in here that does not struggle with their former nature, raise your hand. So we're all in this predicament. How do we perform becoming obedient the way God said? How do we know? Now, if I get a job and I go on a new job and I want to perform well. So I am not that familiar with how the job works that I am hired to do. I find out what is it they want me to do. I want to make money. So I will find out, okay, how do you do? Okay, I'm a baker. If I go to another bakery, they bake different. I used to be in a different bakery. I have not deleted baking from my system. I just deleted me from where I was. I heard too many snickers. Just can't get over the hump. You still gotta do me good even if you don't like me. Anyway, I've worked in a few different bakeries. I went from one to another and everything there was different. I had to find out how did they want me to do what they wanted me to do because it was different from what I was doing. I needed to understand my job description so that I could perform correctly and keep my job. Well, if we're servants of God and we're workers for Christ, we need to know our job description so we can keep our salvation. We can't rest on the fact that, well, so-and-so said this and that. And I'm going to accept what they said because they're a great man. And everybody says they're a great man of God. So I believe what they said. And you do no investigation. What did God say? Now, I can take L. Mackey. I'm going to pick on him because I like picking on L. Mackey. He doesn't mind. He'll say, praise the Lord, L. Mackey. How you doing? Good. Good to see you. Now, he means it. Good to see you. He's glad to see people. I can say what he says in a way that it doesn't mean what he said. But I'm saying his words. Men over the years, people, I'll say men and women, that has handled the word of God, said what God said in a way that he didn't say it and gave it a meaning that he didn't give it. And now we're in a spot where he may not be well pleased with what we're offering him. And if faith is the answer to serving God, then obedience must be a part of that faith. But what do we know to obey? That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. A workman, you got to do something. Obedient, work is obedient. A workman unto God needed not be ashamed, so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. So now we see Paul had a stroke. Hilkiah found out that God was angry. God said, let's sit down and talk about this. Let us reason together. Let's have a conversation about what I want versus what you're giving me. Now, way back in Genesis, where Cain and Abel, God took Abel's offering and didn't take Cain's. Because Abel was obedient. God said, this is what I want. And Abel gave him what he wanted. Cain gave him what he grew, but that's not what God asked for. So disobedience, the sin of Cain was disobedience. God didn't accept it. So it doesn't matter. You can think you're doing the right thing the right way and not know you're doing the right thing the wrong way. And do you think if we won't accept it, we're going to hold God to a lesser standard than us where he should have to just accept what we give him? And our salvation, our eternity is hinged on this. You can't walk out the door and take it light that I got everything in order. All of my ducks are in a row and I'm ready to get out of here. Some of us are going to wake up to a very sad day and we're not going to get out of here. Because we took for granted that God was happy with what we were giving him. There's many commandments in the Bible. Many, not just 10. They're sprinkled throughout the word of God. God says do. God says do. How many of those do we actually perform? Now, God doesn't say be perfect. But if we're at least on our way as Peter walked towards him on the water, let's be obedient and start walking towards God. Let's find our job description and get it done. Because when our day is done, there's no more questions to be answered. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Let's not be found not pleasing God. And I'll be honest with you, for many years I thought certain ways, I accepted certain teachings, and this is not a reflection on my yesterday at all. I accepted what I thought the Bible said because I didn't investigate thoroughly the entire conversation. Sometimes I've got to read 3 chapters above and 3 chapters below to find out what in the world is being said. Because there's a whole thought involved. And if I streamline it, I can get the wrong understanding. And suddenly, I am not obeying what God said do. Now I'm in a state of disobedience. It doesn't matter how ignorant I am. If I have a rifle and I'm ignorant that there's a 10 on over there and I shoot at a stump and miss it and the bullet hits somebody, you think I don't go to jail when they find me? Did I know it was going to happen? No. Did I pull the trigger? Yes. Am I guilty of it? Yes, I am. Might be manslaughter or not murder. Either way you go, I'm looking under the bars from inside. So ignorance won't buy us exoneration from the guilt and the penalty of sin. And that's why God sends the message. So that we can get out of where we are and get it right. We're going to go to Hebrew, 3rd chapter, verse 11. We're going to start with verse 3. These are the things that happen with faith. Now, if we want to, we can substitute or shift the word faith, shift it to obedience just for right now, to give us the kind of understanding I think God wants us to have. And I'm going to use the word obedience wherever there is faith. I'm just going to use the word obedience. Through obedience, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God said, let there be. And it was obedient, and there was. Faith is not just believing. By obedience, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Verse 6. But without obedience, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By obedience, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet, moved with fear. What did he do? Obedience. God said, build an ark. Obedience. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And we want to be heir of that righteousness which is Christ by faith, which is obedience. By obedience, Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. So he didn't stop and ask the question, Lord, where am I going? How do I get there? Where do I get the money? How long do I stay where I am? And God kept him moving. He said, everywhere the soles of your feet touch, this is going to be your inheritance. But he went into strange places, and he used his own method of self-preservation, as questionable as it may be, his own method of self-preservation, because he wasn't familiar. God didn't tell him. As he was en route, God said, stop here. Stop here. Stop here. Do this. And Abraham just went. He just went. And he didn't ask the question. See, when we ask questions, really what that is, that's a manner of getting some sight. And the just shall live and walk by faith and not by sight. Because sight infuses our knowledge, and we start figuring out how to do what to do that God didn't say figure out. And that's instinct. I wanted to figure out how to do what to do. I wanted to figure out how am I going to deliver this message. And he said, no questions. Now, for tonight, I was obedient, no questions. Will I be tomorrow? I don't know. Paul struggled. The good I would, I might not do it. But I know it's in my mind to do it. So I'm going to press to be more obedient, to be more attentive, to hear God's voice, and to be sure that it's God's voice. You know, God, I might feel tremendously inspired and think that God said, okay, I want you to move to Texas and start a church. And I go to the pastor, God said, move to Texas. And he says, how long did you pray about it? I was praying this morning and last night, move to Texas. And if there's a pause, I'm telling you, when you go to the man of God, God either gives him peace or he doesn't give him peace. It doesn't mean the man of God has insight about everything, but God works with him. That he builds, he constructs pastors and leaders, and he'll work through them when they're sensitive. When they're not sensitive, they're going to lead you down the wrong path. So if you go and there's this pause, just back up and give yourself a selah. Don't forge forward, boldly going where no man has ever gone before. Don't do it. You're going to find yourself lost in space. It's not a good place to be. So we see that faith and obedience are one and the same. And God needs us to get back on the obedient track. We didn't get ourselves off track, and God knows that. That's why He's rescuing us. Our fathers, our forefathers, the beginners, somewhere down the line of time, the conversation of God shifted to something else. And now we believe things that God didn't say. And we are performing in that, and many of us are doing well. But we're giving God what He didn't ask for the way He didn't ask. And God being so kind is being gentle and patient, leading us back. But we've got to put forth the effort to get back as well. So let's study to show ourselves approved. And let's make sure that when God said it, and not another man or our mind or the devil crept in our head and said, move to Texas. And if He told you to move to Texas, I'm not talking to you. But let's help each other on this walk. Hilkiah, he got everybody in his area to help get things back in order. If we are one body, our body helps itself repair. Our body helps itself repair. So all those works of the Spirit, let's invoke those works. Let's produce those works. When God said love, 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 when they do you wrong, 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 let's practice. We're going to fail. I'm going to fail. I'm not going to hit anyone, but I'm going to fail. And I know it. And God knows it. That doesn't mean I'll stop trying. So let's be helpers one of another. And let's make this journey to heaven by faith and by what?
Obedience.
Obedience. Thank you.
Amen. Before you go, do we have any questions in Bible study? He came out of his quick. He always hit me. Are there any questions or comments?